I'm Danny.
And I'm Althea.
And we are
DNA Live, baby. How is everybody doing? How you doing?
I'm blind.
Yeah. Okay. So he can't see today, but that's okay. You don't need to be, you don't need to see. All you do is you just need to talk. I'll do all the info and you just sit there and look pretty. Okay. So I want to first start off with a shout out to Miss J. The Miss J experience. She had a beautiful performance yesterday in New York City. And she's just phenomenal. And you're going to wait and hear her new single or album. I mean, I can't wait to blow this puppy up. You have no idea because she's just phenomenal.
Easy with the puppiness.
I'm just saying with the puppy, you know, I'm blowing it up.
She's not talking about animals.
No, I'm not talking about blowing a puppy up. No.
Go ahead.
Very funny.
I need an explosion.
No, you don't need an explosion. Oh. So anyway, she did a great performance yesterday. And a big shout out to Howie Wood and Debbie. And of course, my boy, Barry. I mean, her manager. He's phenomenal. And I'm just happy that everything was like phenomenal. I wish I could have been there. And I'm sorry I couldn't. But, you know, I love her to death. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Do you have any shout outs before we go to commercial?
Big shout out to everybody. Definitely put the Canada right up there, please.
Okay, the Canada. Let's do Toronto because we are actually live also now.
Shout out to Toronto.
In Toronto, as we speak, lovely Canada. Thank you so much, guys. And we really appreciate
it. And as well as the DNA 93.7, put it up real quick.
Okay. So as you all know, DNA Radio 93.7, Media Base. There we go. And we're going to get power on there too. So that's going to come probably like in August, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So we got that going on. If anything, we have a very special guest coming up. Her name is Nancy Monet, and you'll get to meet her in about 1 minute and 20 seconds. So stay tuned.
Put your hands up. Right now we're inside a war with ourselves. Yo, America, are we gonna wake up from this? Where the real Americans at, you heard? Man, you blinded and you lied, you just censor inside your own. Everyone pretends they love you, but messing you up in homes. Laughing without the way you can't even afford food. And everybody looking at you acting so rude. They thinking that they love you, your skin, that's what they see. They don't understand the melanin well it be. But the anger that they got, they just play for each other. A civil war, they trying to come for us, kill one another. But I woke up last night, I gotta talk to my peers. Tell them, listen, we gotta march and what do we? You laughing, you crying, you angry, you feeling the skating. Saying with all the time, they just demonstrated. Leave you inside the cars, they don't wanna see you out. They leave you locked doors, breaking your doors over locked.
They lock you up, they wanna trap you, put you inside with a lock, it's mental block. Cause all you ever hear from is the cops screaming lifeless. Now all of a sudden we thinking prices. Putting that two there, be called crashing in crisis. Now they hating how the way how they even look. They try to lock us up, throw it down, try to play the book. Wanna get us shook, every time try to get it booked. Overshook, saying God is there and love is over.
They try pretending that we close with a phone next to each other's ears. But we're more social distancing, corona years. They try to act it like we ain't one inside our home. We acting like that we ain't wanted one inside our home.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. So up next, we have rock pianist, vocalist, and songwriter from Texas, Nancy Mene.
Yeah.
Hello, hello. Hello. Did I pronounce it correctly, right?
Yes. Nancy?
Okay.
Yes. Because I was all different pronunciations. Yes.
I was thinking like Monet, Manet, that's Monet, correct. Like the jewelry, right?
Yeah. Manet Top Monet.
I love it. I love
Monet,
it.
Monet Top Monet?
Uh-huh. And he was the bridge builder between two generations of art, realism and impressionism.
Ooh, give that clap.
I know. Can we get an applause for that, please? No? I want an applause. Okay, you know what? I'm going to do the applause, okay? I'm doing the applause. Yep. So anyway.
That's how I see myself. Just a personal definition of me. If I can bridge between two generations that are really struggling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. So let's start off with how you started. Okay. So you don't have to give us age or anything like that.
Okay? Well, when I first started playing on a recorder.
Yeah. Or when I first y'all started using that pager. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
was me right. Too. So. Well, it's hard because, you know, you have to encapsulate the age of which I am into, you know, when did I start? It was a really long time ago. I was 7. We moved into a home with a piano. And my mother is extremely practical. And she said, well, there's a piano. You'll learn to play it.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But it was
very first thing you learned on the piano, though?
Scales.
Just the scales, right? I knew how to do chopsticks.
What?
You know, the dun 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 dun, you know, that.
Oh, okay. So you just took one finger and went...
It wasn't just one finger, okay? You had to use more than one finger. Stop it. Okay.
I think I drove my brother crazy with the spinning song. It's a classical piece. That drove him nuts. And so if any time I could get up there and play the spinning song. If anybody knows, it was a big red book, big black book. But I moved pretty quickly through lessons. And in a couple of years, my piano teacher was telling my parents she needs to be in a conservatory.
Wow.
But I did not go to a conservatory. That did not happen.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I am.
Because I'm listening to you. You're very good on the piano.
Thank you. Yeah. I really only started to play piano publicly. I'm also a self-described closet pianist, probably just in the last 6 or 7 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't go on to the conservatory. My dad died. Things changed in the household. And at 18 years old, I moved out and bought a guitar.
Wow.
You know, because that I could take with me in a, you know, 76 Volkswagen Bug.
Oh my God. What color?
I got a guitar and a pitch pipe and a chord book. And
Oh my God. What kind of what color was it, the buggy?
Oh, rust.
Rust color?
Rusted out. I think it was gold. But it was kind of back in the Flintstones days. I could put my feet probably through the floorboards. It was a mess.
Yeah, I get it. You know, my cousin Nick had a buggy too. He loved that thing. It was it looked like an army green, I think it was.
Yeah.
And but you know what the funny thing was is that I think it was like, I don't know, let's say 2-3 decades later, and he has three girls. And the first one, his daughter Lindsay, bought a black buggy. But I mean, you're talking, you know, more updated and stuff like that. But I was kind of shocked that her first car was, you know, the bug. But you know what? They were a very popular car at one point. They were.
Yeah.
I remember the buggies.
Mountains faster than a Volkswagen buggy.
Yeah, you know, but they were cute little cars. Remember the Herbie, the movie?
Yeah.
You know? They were very popular. Anyway, let's get off the buggies, okay?
Well, so fun.
Yeah, I remember punch buggies. That's what I remember. Punch buggies.
Huh? What did you say, hon?
At 18 years old, I moved into an apartment and I bought this piano that's behind me.
Oh.
At 18?
At 18. I bought it for $500. I made payments and I just continued to play. And I eventually had it restored. It's of the era where they, it's an AB Chase, and it was in the era that they took 2 years to build them. And I think I was 50 when I had it restored. Yeah.
50 years old.
So you've worked with a lot of producers and stuff like that, because, you know, one thing that I saw was that you recorded at the iconic Abbey Road Studios in London.
Yes, so tell me my about debut that. Album.
I know. Tell me about
your
that.
Your debut album. Wow.
Yes. Well, I had a body of work, and you know, as best friends do, I had a friend call and say, "If you don't, someone else will."
Right.
Like, okay.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said, "All right, who's the name of that production studio that I heard about when I watched this band play over at this, you know, two-step bar?"
Yeah.
Dogs, yellow. No, I was just dogs. They like Dogs Studio Recording, Austin, Texas. Oh, I typed that in, and Yellow Dog. But that was it. They like Yellow Dog. If they like dogs and I like dogs. So I sent an email and said, "Hey, I've got a body of work. I would like orchestration. I am not a conductor, right? And so, but I've written 17 songs and I have a backstory to go with it." And he said, "Send them over." So I sent a 60-page dossier and 17 songs. And he wrote back in a week and said, "I don't know if it's more bone chilling or inspiring. When can you meet?"
That is the greatest answer ever. I don't know if it freaks me out or do I like it?
Yeah.
Typical industry. Typical industry. That's it. It's typical industry.
Yeah, but you know what it is too? Because like a lot of things that I've seen about her with her songs and stuff like that, you know, I mean, everybody wants to tell a story, right? But sure. She's a very good storyteller too. Because another thing that caught my eye was also on one of your things. It's you talked about a friend that you had who was married for 25 years.
Yes.
And life cheated on him.
Yes.
And he was left with 3 kids.
Yes.
And you wrote a song, "Don't Let Her Ruin You."
Yes.
Yeah. But I listened to it and I was like, that is brilliant.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you. Well, he's a very dear friend. I've known him since I was 14 years old. And once a year he'd call and we'd connect, and it was always around our birthdays, and we'd high five life. And then he called one year and he said, "You'll never believe what happened." And I was like, "That's impossible." And then we stayed connected. And then I went through something differently, but as horrific. Right. And then I called him. I'm like, "You're never going to believe." I was the poster child of like the successful second marriage. And I'm like, "You're never going to believe what happened." And then I just listened to his story and I'm like, "Oh, friend, don't let it ruin you."
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Don't let it ruin you.
Exactly. Well, and then I was a little angry, to be honest. So when I first wrote it, I was like, and then as I processed it, I said, "You know what? How is he or any other man going to hear anything that I might want to say? Well, let's start with some tenderness. Let's start with gentleness, even in the way I sing it, like it comes out. And then if you noticed, it builds. And then at the end, I'm just like, but you know, nobody wants just to be raged at, especially from a gal. Let's be honest, right?
You know what? The song kind of reminds me of the tone of a couple of Adele songs.
Oh, that is an incredible compliment.
It kind of reminds me of it, you know, because she also had, you know, that type of relationship, I guess, in her life. You know, she had a couple of down times as well, right, with her personal life, and she wrote about it.
Yeah.
We'll put it this way, the Adele song and your song kind of hit me the same way.
That's a compliment of,
you know what I'm saying? It hit me. You're welcome. But it hit me the same way when I heard it. And I was like, I wanted to cry, but I said to myself, this guy is not going to let her ruin him.
Mm-hmm. He didn't.
Yeah. And then that's the perfect storyline, you know? So he persevered. He's got 3 beautiful kids.
He does.
You know,
graduated from college now. Yeah. Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. Sometimes the storyline in the song comes to life.
Yeah, but that's the best music, actually.
Yeah.
Anything from life and music mirrors you and stuff like that. It always makes the best actually records. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. I'm just, and she has a very beautiful daughter as well. And listen, I'm all about compliments, okay? I'm all about compliments, but only when it's due, okay? I don't compliment anything I don't want to compliment on.
She never compliments me, so just realize
that. I don't. I just don't. He's with me all the time. Thanks, Bobby.
You finally got a cue. I asked you to do a freaking hitting of the dog, and you don't even blow up the dog.
Okay, so forget the dog. Okay, we're not doing
that. Would have been perfect.
No, we're not doing any dogs.
No, 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 no. Oh my! No, I'm. This is where the wah wah. If I had thrown a joke out that I was gonna say, but I'm
exactly
about dogs and what we don't want to do. To dogs or cats that we don't do.
But let me tell you, she has these beautiful animals. Okay, so Lucy, Linus, and Pepper. Pepper is the cat.
Yeah,
and you know what? Because I saw also a picture of you taking the dogs on like on a road trip.
We all just got back. We did a 12-day road trip.
Yeah, he's just doing that. Go ahead.
We did a 12-day road trip and took Linus, Lucy, and Peppermint Pat.
You know what? Because I always ask people that when you like, it's like when a singer takes their entourage, or they take a pet, or they take their, you know, their youngest child with them. You know, how do you deal with that while you're doing your thing?
Right.
Who's taking care of the animals?
They're very well behaved.
They are, right?
They are. And Pepper, this was a vacation. Pepper doesn't travel. Linus and Lucy, if I'm in vehicles, they go with.
Oh, they go.
I have, like, they are very well trained beagles.
And mine is well trained as well, so we're good.
They've got, you know, I've got different relationships with sitters across the country. I've got different, you know, relationships with the places that I stay that are very dog friendly. They're both crate trained, and sometimes if it's an interview, they've come with.
Oh, very nice. I love them. They're beagles, right?
They are.
They're adorable. They reminded me of, see, I'm always reminding of something, but they kind of reminded me. Remember the dog from Frasier?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Moose?
No, it wasn't Moose. It's
was it Moose?
No, it's
I think his name was Moose. No, his name was Eddie.
Eddie.
But his real name was Moose.
Okay.
See, you got to ask me because I know everything. I know it all.
Yeah, from the 90s.
Oh, shut up. So anyway, I'm glad you both are enjoying this right now.
Oh, goodness.
I'm just very good with, I'm not great with everybody's name, but there are just certain aspects that I do remember for some reason. I don't know.
She don't remember my name. She calls me different names.
Yeah, I call them all different names.
So call me Moose. All
right. I'm going to call you Moose from now on.
There you go.
Okay, so now I want you also to talk to me about the song. I know we're going to go back a little bit, but I wanted to also know about the song Free, which was inspired by having a conversation with your daughter. Give me a little bit about that. I want to know about that.
The song Set Us Free?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That was just, I think I have some of the most enlightening I've had some of the most teaching and enlightening and expansion oriented conversations with my daughter from the time they, you know, were probably 3 years old and extremely articulate then to the time they were five, they could write their own dissertation.
Right.
And the rule was we could talk about anything. You could even disagree as long as you did it respectfully. And even if I had made a decision and you want to come rebuttal that decision, as long as you do it respectfully, I promise I will be open to changing my mind. But the moment you flip out.
Yeah, I'm out the door too.
Right. So in this conversation, we were talking about my generation, the X gens and above. And she said, Mom, we don't want what you guys built.
Oh, wow. Seriously?
That is exhausting. This whole idea behind you have to get married and the white picket fence and then so many kids and then you're building this portfolio and this, we want something different.
Right.
Do we want security? Yes, but we want community. We want to develop a world where people are coming together and that we're not nations blowing each other up. And We don't want what you built, Mom. Love you. I love what you've done, but it's exhausting. Aren't you tired? And I was like,
oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, she does have a point there. Now I'm thinking about it. She does have a point. Yeah,
and what do we value? And I thought, wow. Wow. Okay. And I sat down and I wrote that song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She does have a point there. I mean, you know, I grew up with, you know, your generation. We are the same, you know, and I kind of get what she's talking about. It was like more of a straight, narrow path that everybody wanted us to follow, you know, and if you didn't do it that way, you were considered like a rebel without a cause.
Right. And that wasn't a compliment, right? Yeah. It was just you're being cantankerous and not doing it the way we're supposed to. And the shoulds.
A lot of you guys, your generation honestly built what scares me about the new generation coming up after us is that they see it. We were brought up in different kind of more like, you know, morals and respect.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to places. I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to even think about it. I just seen the way that Gen Zs, not all Gen Zs, but most of the Gen Zs now are. And it scares me because what scares me is, you know, we're brought up in a certain aspect where it comes to just have respect for your elders and cruising. They're sitting there and they don't see the value of a lot of things that we've seen.
Yeah.
So that's what scares me the most with them, because the value is going to make them go, whoa, 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 whoa. I ain't going to go left off too much.
Yeah, sure.
It's good to see them creating what they want to see. But there's a difference between creating and there's a difference between reality and there's a difference between actuality.
On that note, I would say to the Gen Zs, I would say, well, first of all, I would say to the Gen Xs and older, we need to listen to millennials and Gen Zs.
Mm-hmm.
Baby boomers are aging out. How many did we see go this last week? Right?
Yeah. Rest in peace, Hulk Hogan. Yeah. Rest in peace, Ozzy Osbourne.
Rest in peace.
Ugh. Jamal Warner, too.
Jamal Warner,
And Chuck Mangione.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I'm chilled from head to toe. I mean, beautiful artists. And okay, we have a group of people that are coming up that are actually calling out the BS, right? Mm. They're saying, you guys have been lying, you've been cheating. When I wrote, we don't want what our parents thought they can do without getting caught. That is absolutely 100% directed at our current situation, right? We've got an entire group of people and on all sides of the spectrum that just want to keep lying and not get caught, or then they get caught, they keep lying. And this isn't a political debate, and I'm very neutral.
No, not at all. This is your opinion. Our opinion. Neutral,
but I look at what they're saying. I'm like, okay, great. Call it out. Turn it upside down. But the piece that's missing that Danny, you're hitting on is the respect. Can we do it in a way that holds space, that holds empathy, that holds kindness, that shares love, that shares expansion? We are not on this planet to all believe 100% of what everybody else believes. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
So where can we come with the empathy and the compassion and the and then also, Danny, you're talking about respect. And I know they say, well, they've never earned my respect. Well, I don't have to agree with you to still just respect
it.
The conversation.
Yeah.
And to hold space for it. And so that's what I would tell them, because they are the future. Yeah. And if we don't get around that, where do you think we're going to be in 20, 30, 40, or 50 years?
Exactly. Jesus. I look at it, just the connections are off. That's it. Like, all they have to do is, everyone, like you said, the best thing to do is sit there and listen to both of the sides and come up with a median. You got one side that doesn't want to hear it and another side that feels like they're just right.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You know what I'm saying? It's the connection is off.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. It's like taking
life. Love. If we can lead with love first, win-win.
I don't even believe, honestly, a lot of the stuff that we are arguing about even makes sense in these days.
Yeah.
I never understood it.
Well, the only thing I want to say is that...
drum roll, please.
No, no drum rolls. Okay. No, the only thing I could say about that is the fact that every generation is going to be different. Okay.
Absolutely.
So Absolutely. There's no X, Y, Z, you know, everybody's different. They're doing the same. They want the same things. They want the same things, but they want it in a different way. They want it in a different path. When I was younger and we wanted something, we worked for it. Okay. Mm-hmm. We knocked on doors. We ran through whatever terrain or whatever. For me, it seems that the more generations go by, the less they want to do to get there.
Well, the technology made it easier for them not to do what we have
okay.
to do.
You got a point.
So let's
there.
Be honest. You really want to break it down?
Okay, we'll break it
the
down.
The technology made them that way.
Yeah.
Because years ago, can't say they're lazy. They're technical. It's like it's different because instead of you
I won't say lazy anymore.
I want to hear some of the music. So just to be blunt with you, they could be making $1,000 just sitting on their phone.
Called laziness.
Name anything that we done when we were younger.
Okay. So let me throw this out at you. So now talk about the bridge builder, right? Mm-hmm. Is it lazy? Or is it smart and they're leveraging technology that we have not learned how to do?
Exactly. Yeah.
Different point of views in it.
No, she got me there. She got me there.
No, 100%, but there's two different point of views. Because one point of view is, you ready for this?
Oh, here we go with your point of view. Go
ahead. One point of view is, say they're trying to learn a trade, right? You can't learn a trade through the phone. Only thing that you can really learn inside the phone is basically, I'm not going to lie though,
go ahead.
That technically is a trade, but I'm talking about plumbing this.
Correct. So right. we could argue it to the other side.
Okay.
My son is a great example. He is a very, very young millennial or old Gen Z. He's right on the edge, right? And I wrote "O Son of Mine" for him. And at 22, the kid bought his first house at an auction. And got financed because he had a great job. Pepper's getting active. And hello, Pepper. And he's beating the blinds.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
We love you, Pepper.
So he then COVID hit. He sold. He moved. And he's regretted that decision ever since. But he needed the funds because work was gone. He needed the funds to go on. But he felt like a failure. Like an absolute failure. So here's a 25-year-old kid at that time, or 26. I'm a failure, Mom. I blew it. I shouldn't have done this. And now I can't get a job. And he struggled. And he wanted to have something where he could stay at home and work on the computer or the phone. Mm-hmm. And over many conversations, it was just like, so now I'm going to side with the other side. Hey, bud, what about they need plumbers, they need electricians.
Right.
You actually have a high acumen for this. And he wrestled and he struggled and he's 30 now and he's now coming out of it. Okay. But and now he's doing some things that he really hates, but he has to pay bills. Right. And it's like that's what we're also talking about. If you can't, you know what I'm saying? So yes, I applaud those in social media that can make livings and utilize tech to leverage a lifestyle for them.
Right, yeah.
But not most can do that. And they're going to figure it out as Gen Zs exhaust themselves because we work all the time, right? We love work and we never stop working and we're always working. And we're
built to do it. That's the difference. We have a different generation.
Good.
Our generation, we just never stop.
Which then my daughter would say, how exhausted are you, Mom?
But the thing is, it's like kind of like I feel like if we stop, we're gonna get lazy and our bodies are gonna start getting used to it and very tired.
So
we have to be generated, but that's the way we were raised. We weren't raised up because again, then this conversation is done because I want to get to our music. So the technology, right? Technology is years ago we were never able to talk like this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Years ago, she would have to come physically to the studio for anybody to see her.
Okay. You got a point.
Right? So this is what confuses me about technology. I'm going to say it.
What?
Technically, everyone should be a millionaire using technology. Really? Because think about everything that's connected in one single serve. Like billions of people right now are connected through this. You're telling me right now the percentage of somebody to get a million is only 1%.
You know what?
And nobody knows how to line that up.
That's a good idea, because if we asked our audience and we asked your followers and my followers for a dollar each, we could buy a new mansion.
Yeah, but the thing, again, you got to maintain it.
Okay, so
instead of a dollar. Or yeah, we could develop systems and programs for people to all have sustainable housing and food on their plates.
Or they can just send me $2 each instead of a dollar, and it can double it. So.
Or they can tell you good night and get a job. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to hear some music right now.
Okay, so anyway, first up with Nancy Minaj, we have Set Us Free. Can we play that, hon?
Let's go. Dun,
dun, dun, dun, let's go. I was listening to, you know what, that's the kind of song also that I'm just playing and I'm rocking it in my head, you know, it's just planted right there. And it reminded me, I can't remember her name. I'm really bad at this sometimes, but an old rock singer, Carol
King.
There we go. Carol King.
Thank you.
Carol King. That's what it reminded me of.
One of my favorites.
You know, but that was a storyteller. That was, you know, with her songs as well, you would just close your eyes and imagine.
She sounds like, and not trying to say anything like, you know, like through the sexes, but you kind of sound like Meatloaf to me.
Meatloaf?
Mm-hmm.
Meatloaf?
Well, if you guys saw my playlist, it made sense to you.
Don't not tell me you got Meatloaf on your playlist.
I've got everybody.
Oh boy.
But that's what she reminds you of. She reminds you of that era.
Oh, okay, Meatloaf. Oh, like the dashboard light.
Exactly.
Okay, I see that. I see that.
That's great. I love that. Thank you.
Okay, so he wanted me also to ask you another question. Mm-hmm. Because you were also given a Grammy consideration for Best Rock Album and Best Engineered Album. Tell us a little bit about that too.
For that debut album that whisked me off to Abbey Road. So what we ended up doing is we carved 9 songs out of the original that I wrote and launched this debut. And it came in a consideration last year. And I actually did get a call from my producer that said, "Did you know?" I'm like, "No, what?" We were both like,
"Wow,
how did that happen?" Right. And so just completely blown away, honored the amount of talent that is out there and to be considered.
Right. Yeah.
You know, for the first work,
It's just like being,
you know, how to process.
You know, it's just the fact that you were even considered for it was
absolutely.
That's a milestone. That's a milestone.
Huge. Yeah.
And so you also work with Grammy winning producer David Percival. Is it
Percival? Yes, Percival.
Mm-hmm. Where Paths was recorded, actually, right?
Yes. So Paths was recorded at Yellow Dog Studios in its entirety.
Right.
And I do want to mention, because the studios are all so amazing, that the debut was also done at Criteria in Miami. And I just want to give credit where credit is due. Yeah. That album turned out the way it did because we needed a few things that only they could provide. And so thank you to Criteria on that. But yes, Yellow Dog Studios in San Marcos, Texas, that was, you know, the original producer that I reached out for initially, you know, Yellow Dog. They like dogs. I like dogs.
I know.
And so, yes. And he has done a lot of tremendous work. And I'm just to be on, you know, his docket of artists that he's working with is mind blowing to me. He's a
genius. You are not allowed to look at my list.
I'm not looking at
my list. Okay, Percival is a genius.
For the Grammy.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. I'm just saying, you cannot look at my notes. These are my notes. You got no, you won't have any notes, okay?
No. This is the thing though, right? So okay, the consideration for the Grammy, right?
Right, okay.
Did the record start hitting like charts and stuff like that as well?
So, yes. That first one, so the one that we talked about in the very beginning, Don't Let Her Ruin You, did very well.
Right.
Yeah. So, but we were primarily working with and talking to and interviewing with non-com NPR stations.
Okay.
And so it went on the charts that go in that direction.
Yeah.
No, it's still good though.
The only thing I'm upset right now is that I have not yet to see Pepper. Okay.
So he was just here. Right when the song ended, and then he got, you know, he decided he didn't want to be here anymore. Pepper.
I'm just a little upset right now because I was hoping to see Pepper all this time, but that's okay. We can go on. You can, you know, how about, yeah, we'll get Pepper on the show. So if anything, oh, and I also listed that she's a Dodger fan.
Okay, so my Dodger friends have banned me from being a Dodger fan.
What?
They have banned me. They have said, "You are banned. You are not allowed to be a fan." Hi, Pepper. Are you going to come this way?
Okay.
How are you a fan?
Because
you're banned. I said.
How'd
you
get banned? I live in Houston, and I go to the Astros games. And I said, "Hey, I was an Astros fan long before the conflict between the Dodgers and the Astros."
You know, my Yankee friend, the New York people that are watching right now. My Yankee friends right now are sick to their stomach. Are you a fan of both of them?
Oh my God. Because
used to be
Houston are classic. Are you kidding? I'm a baseball fan. And so, yes, I grew up going to Dodger games. Actually, you know, Bill Russell, Fernando Valenzuela, Ronce.
Okay. I used to be a very big baseball fan. I was a big Yankee fan too, but I think
you're a Yankee fan and not knowing that she basically just said the two biggest enemies of your generation.
I always considered Boston an enemy.
Boston's going to be
a rival.
They're going to be an enemy for life.
Well, I'm just
saying. What I'm trying to tell you right now is the Yankees, the new Yankees, the Astros give them the headache, right? Then her team last year beats us in the World Series.
Okay. So it kind of hurt you. Okay. You'll get over it. Get a Band-Aid. Okay. So anyway.
When I was in junior high, I was convinced that one day I would buy the Dodgers. I was that big of a fan.
I wouldn't say that.
I didn't have dolls. I had baseball stuff all over my walls. I was that girl.
Oh, okay. Now, see, I didn't have, I do have, remember the bat I showed you? I have a bat, a Yankees bat. Okay,
you didn't even get sick the way I got sick when she mentioned those two teams.
Don't.
I don't want to hear about the Yankee bat.
Oh, there's Pepper. Hi, Pepper.
Hi, Pepper.
Look at Pepper.
Hey, hello, Pepper.
Hello, Pepper.
How did we just go into a sports debate, a political debate, and then records?
Well, you know why? Because look at Pepper. She's such a cutie. Oh my god. Anyway.
No, let me. I want to ask some serious questions right now.
Well, let's just ask her a serious question so we get to her next song. Please.
Let's get to her next song then afterwards.
Okay, we'll do the song first.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna do the song "Hey Little Brother" by Nancy Manet. Can we roll it, please?
You'll see, it comes directly from my heart. It's you and it's from me. It's my way of saying and how I show respect for what you are braving and daring to affect. You aren't afraid to lean away into the unknown. You understand the heart knows best and allow it to be shown. You are real and authentic and help all to win. Aware of your ego, instead you lead with heart. You're tired of the way the world is tearing itself apart. You aren't afraid to lead away into the unknown. You understand the heart knows best and allow it to be shown.
Let me just start off, okay? Because one of the first things that Danny said to me was, I would do a record with her.
Aww.
I was like, what? What?
Jeez.
Go ahead.
I'm telling you, it feels like back in the day, right? There used to be a record, and I'm trying to remember who sung it, right? But these are the type of records I like it because it's like a story.
Yeah.
You know? Then I embrace.
Yeah. So when flip the bird. I like the flip the bird part.
What I liked about it really, and I'm going to say this, what I really liked about it is that it just, it's something that is a universal kind of record.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those are the type of records I love. I love top 40 hits.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the top 40.
That's the top 40.
So I like those kind of records because those are the type of records that you can play anywhere.
Anywhere, right.
And you know what? No one's going to judge it. No one's going to have this type of energy that they're going to be bringing to the table. And, you know, that's the type of song that you want to just listen to the very end.
Yeah.
I know you're going to look at me like I'm crazy and a long
but
shot.
I do that all the time anyway, but go ahead.
American Pie.
Ooh, American Pie.
What do you say to that, right? I mean, thank you.
That era right then and there, that American type of music. Pie. Honest, honest, nah. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah, okay, I got you. But I also want you to give props to the guitarist because the songs.
Oh, man, he made it perfect right there.
The guitar?
David Percival.
Perfect.
And in fact, fun fact about that, when we were working on the arrangements, we are 100% like open and authentic and like we just tell it like it is, right? I'm like, Dave, I think that opening might sound. And then we went back and checked. He's like, yes. And so we changed it. And it would just, it was like, that is exactly what it needed. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know what it is too? Because like you can have the perfect artist and the perfect words for the song, right? But if you don't have the background and you don't got the right, you know, music and tempo, whatever, it's just all ruined anyway.
So that is I love that you said it because that is what's magical about David Percival and Yellow Dog. Because as older as he is and as experienced and some of the top of the tops he has worked with, he never approaches a project with an old hat. I have come to him, we're working on number 5. And I came to him and I said, I'm going to push us outside of the box in bigger ways than we've ever even thought. Are you up for it? He's like, bring it on. And I unpacked my ideas and he is never shies away from thinking outside of the box over and over and over and over again.
Right.
He pushes me to do the same. It's amazing.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. But you're right. Because it's just like everything's got to fit perfectly like into the puzzle. If it doesn't fit, it's just broken.
Right. You know? It's the worst when it's like, oh, we almost got there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because sometimes, you know, like even if you're not always on the first try, you know, sometimes you just got to tweak things a little bit of, you know, a little bit of vocal there, a little bit of tweaking here or whatever. But whatever is needed and it comes together, then it's a perfect, it's a masterpiece.
Okay, do you want to know a little background to that song?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, it was not originally titled, Hey Little Brother.
Oh, what was it?
And he said to me, he said, what is this song about? And I'm like, well, it's about my little bros in life. And we can, like, I've got some really strong, Dr. Ryan Smart, who is in the one surfing, right? He's one of my best friends and he's a little brother. And he said, Nancy, I can be real with you. I can send you F you memes and you send stuff back and we can flip the bird and you laugh and you don't judge me and we think it's amazing. So I originally titled MF-er. Hey MF-er.
Oh my God.
When I sang it.
And thank God you changed the title.
Well, and my producer said, he goes, and so when I said it goes, it's about my little brother. He goes, that's the word. It's hey, little brother, not hey, MF-er.
That would have rolled off your tongue really fast. Like, hey, my mother.
No, because it always got to coincide with the hook.
Yeah, it's got to.
You know what I mean? Like, I always learned a hit record or a record that's going to be marketable or sell or for the radio to play it. It has to have that. I always believe that. Sometimes it works out, but sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Easiest way is to have it simple. So to hear the hook and the name of it, it gets repeated inside your head when you're listening to it as a listener. Even as a DJ, when I hear it and you say, hey, little brother, now it's going to come out a lot more than that title. Because that title, I would look for just a sneak little verse.
In the song, I did not sing little brother. I sang an effort.
No way.
So we went back and re-recorded. And so here's, so we talk about being the
original one, the original
It was,
one.
Hey,
So, yeah. Okay, so that was the original one. And then he said, no, go back. And
he challenged. So here is from artist to artist or to younger people, right? When we're talking about, we're going to bring this home.
There we go.
What is really critical is, yes, we come with our ideas. We come with our creativity. We don't want to not be who we are to our authentic selves, right? But listen, when those wiser, more experienced, and have been around a lot longer, when they talk to you and they challenge you and they push back on something, I could have dug in and said, no, man, the authentic me wants to say MF-er.
Right, yeah.
I've been told I can't my whole life, so now I am, right? And no, I sat and I listened, and we have a pact. And I've said, if there is anything that I might push back on, don't stop pushing if you are adamant. Or if it's one that we can kind of come to a middle ground on, then let's come to a middle ground. Or he's like, oh, no, I see what you're saying, Nancy. Now that you explained it, I get it. So we've got this really great working relationship. But I default, he knows what he's doing. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
I hear you.
The people that are working on my team know what they're doing. They don't need an artist to, you know, it's my way or no way. And I think that youngers could work more harmoniously.
Yeah. Okay. No, they don't. They have not all of them, because I've met some of them, and they have this certain aura about them already that I'm a star.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. We've seen it.
Block radius. Yeah. Y'all 2-block radius. I don't want to hear that. Nobody knows you outside your town.
I shouldn't have got him started, because we've met many people.
You just,
I
mean, don't get on that. Cause
I'm getting on it real quick.
Real talent speaks. Let's just say this real quick and I'm going to be quiet.
Okay. You be quiet.
Real talent speaks for itself. Real talent will move.
Okay.
All of this showboating and coming around and saying you're great is good for where you're at. And you're going to stay where you're at. Again, like I said last week, and I'm going to say this one more time, you need to level up. You need to go to different places. Mm-hmm. You need to challenge yourself. You need to get
out of your comfort zone. Well, that's why she goes on road trips.
That's it.
I'm just saying.
Simple, plain, easy. When I call.
And with 2 dogs and a cat. Go ahead. Sorry.
M does the same thing. Shout out to M City.
Okay. Go ahead, M City.
Truth is, moving to Texas challenged me. My daughter said, WTF, mom.
I know.
But you're a real artist. So you're talented. Yeah. You have to look at the places too. Like, for me, even having just a quick conversation with you, it was like, yeah, we just did that inside the UK. Yeah. And then I did it inside Miami. Yeah. Then I went. So, like, knowing that you already tested your skills out in front of probably out in front of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
It makes me give a lot more respect.
Thank you.
Because for me to sit here, I don't want to disrespect nobody. So I'm trying to be as blunt, easy going as I can be, but I'm just getting sick and tired of seeing artists saying they're stars and no one knows who they are down the freaking block. So.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, that's why he always says like a 2-mile radius in their area, because they may seem so popular right where they're living. But if they go outside of their comfort zone like you do, people know who you are.
That's the star.
And the truth is, people are just getting to know who I am. Nobody knows who I am. I mean, they're just getting to know. Right? They're getting to know who I am. I have been playing for 35 or 40 years on stages, but just playing in the background, you know, giving the vocal support where I needed, giving the guitar support. Being a second guitarist is just like, that's fun, because you be like, what are they doing? I'm going to do something different. And, you know, you don't even have to really rehearse. You just kind of feel. But it is a, you know, in my 50s, I sold my business and said, why not just go and do? And I've had people say, you gave up your security. I did.
Yeah. So what? Yeah.
What's the deal? I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not taking it with me anyway. And I believe I communicate well through writing. And if I can give hope or give thoughts to help people think, people feel good, like, hey, little brother, Yeah. The little bros of the world can just feel like somebody sees them.
Yeah.
Right?
I love this woman. I do. I love her. Aww,
thank you.
So, no, Nancy, I really appreciate you coming on the show. This has been wonderful. I love your dogs. I love your cat. I love your songs. I love who you are. I mean, you're just, you know, you're just so grounded, and that's very healthy. Okay. But it's also very warm to see that she's just well-grounded. She knows who she is. She knows where she wants to go. And, you know, she's going forward. She's not looking back. That's what I love about her.
That's right. Oh.
You know what I'm saying? So why don't you say a couple of good words about Nancy?
Because we can grow too.
I'm like, you know, you want to say anything, or you just going to just sit there and
I'm still relishing in that I've been compared to Meatloaf. Let's be honest.
Listen, we come out with things once in a while, but what we're talking about is what we're feeling.
It's amazing.
I am not trying to blow smoke up, you know what? Okay, so go ahead. Thank Nancy for coming on the show. Go ahead.
It was an honor having you. You were very good at what you do. I love your music. You know, you're very talented. You're a great artist. Everything I've seen is somebody that basically leveled up from their career, their music. So I really don't know how to like express like these words, because there's nothing honestly that I've seen that I can critique. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And say, I love the whole package that comes with it. I love the whole music that comes with it.
We love the Nancy Monáe package. Go ahead, say it. Okay.
Love it.
We love the Nancy Monáe package. Thank you so much, darling. And where can people, go ahead, tell where everybody can find you on IG.
At Nancy Monáe Music. That's all the platforms. So right. At Nancy Monáe, M-A-N-E-T, Music. Yeah. And then nancymonáe.com.
There you go, people. So just remember, Nancy Monáe Music on IG. Thank you again, Nancy, for coming on the show. Stay on there. Don't move. And we'll see you guys next week. Thank you for watching DNA Live.
Thank you for watching DNA Live.